our imperious leader.
Welcome to, there you go, and welcome to Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac. Sean Daly, call me anything you want, just don't call me late for dinner. And welcome to the program, heard every Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Central, 9 p.m. Eastern on lvrocks.com. And there's also a new podcast address for the program. You can go to either through lvrocks.com or over at my blog at subject2discussion.com. And my email address is subject2discussion@lvrocks.com. And tonight's guest in a little bit is going to be Robin Kerner. He's a co-founder of WatchingAmerica.com. It's a site that looks at how the world is viewing the United States every day. So it'll be interesting to see what everybody's thinking about now with the Ambassador Bolton being appointed to the UN in a recess appointment by President Bush. So, like I said, personally, I have no problem with Bolton. I think he should be the UN ambassador. The president should have his own team, and part of that is the UN ambassador. And I'm all for it. Let him pick his own team, because Bush, when he's done and after this term, the UN ambassador will go out with him. So you can appoint somebody else. The ones that should be fought over are the Supreme Court nominees and judicial nominees, because those are usually appointments for life. So that's I think the line is the Democrats should be drawing here. And those of you listening to the program out there on the web can join us in the chat room at on lvrocks.com. Click on Cam and Chat to join us in there. And the program is archived over at spankwagon.net. And like I said, it's a new podcast address over on lvrocks.com. And I also want to welcome the Wise Guys. This is their first week of programming here in LV Rocks, and I guess they're doing all right. I haven't heard any feedback yet. I listened to a few minutes each day when on a break from work, so they sound pretty good. So anyway, and I also announced that next week's program, I'm picking up a sponsor, believe it or not. It's not my mother or my sister anymore. No. It's going to be Judy over at sciencefictionbuzz.com. She's got a Galactica blog. The address is sfbuzz.net. And she's officially coming on board as a sponsor next week with her blog. And I'll put it in the chat room as we go along. Good as sob as boo boo bang here, but anyway, so we look forward to that. Looking at a sponsor here, and I'll go through the news to you as we in a few minutes we'll have Robin Kerner from Watching America, and a little later we won't have a set guest for the Galactica news segment unless we have a mysterious caller call in. I do have Katie Sackhoff's personal email address, so I have emailed her personally without going having to go through sci-fi about getting her back on the program, so we shall see about that. And also I've emailed Paul Campbell, as I have his personal email address right now, and he was willing to come on. So I think right now they're filming. I think they have one more week of filming before they take some time off, I believe. That's what Aaron Douglas said last week, so we'll see what happens with that. So, as we go through the news to you, this is from, actually the top news will be from today. The 14 Marines were killed near a Syrian border. This is from the same unit in Ohio that lost six more earlier in a week. So they've lost 20 or 21 soldiers within a week. A Marine amphibious assault vehicle patrolling during combat operations in the Euphrates River Valley hit a roadside bomb Wednesday, killing 14 Marines from the same Ohio battalion that lost six men 2 days ago. It's the deadliest roadside bombing of U.S. troops in Iraq. So it's a mess. And then we lost a freelance journalist, was found dead in the southern city of Basra, the U.S. Embassy said. He's a guy, he's wanted to go out of the green zone and go out and get his own story. So he went out without any kind of protection besides an interpreter. So they told these journalists, do not leave the green zone without any kind of military escort. A lot of them want to be Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists by going out there and getting these articles. But, they're taking our life in their hands going out there. So, of course, our thoughts and prayers go out there. And what are we doing with this? And Bush goes off and takes a five-week vacation. You know, the same day that these Marines all get killed, he's going back to Texas. If I was him, I'd sit down Rumsfeld and say, what the hell is going on over there? Either do you need more troops? It looks like to me, it's clear as the nose on my face that you need more troops over there. Right now there's 139,000 troops, and I read somewhere they're going to scale down the troops in Europe, put them in Iraq, and put half in Iraq, and put half on the border of the United States and Mexico. So, and now as we have this news to you, This is from Friday from Tyler, who sent it in from, he's from Waco, Texas, at KXXV-TV, News Channel 25, and the ABC affiliate in Waco, Texas. Of course, that's famous from the Branch Davidian disaster. 18-wheeler explodes on I-35 in Belton. A section of I-35 in Belton was at a standstill Friday as a tractor trailer ignites on the highway. The driver of the truck first noticed smoke coming from inside the truck and saw flames coming from the back of the truck, so he pulled over. So they shut down a lot of lanes. I hear a lot about that in Texas. A lot of 18-wheelers going up in flames. I don't know if it's the heat or the cargo. And there's one that caught fire, and there's a FedEx truck sitting next to it. I'm like, ooh, I hope none of my packages are on there. This is from Saturday, from Alan, from KOLN TV 10 in Lincoln, Nebraska. St. Paul processor, a supporter of beef labeling. So they want the beef to be labeled where it's coming from. Is it coming from the United States? Is it coming from Mexico? Knowing where your food comes from is important for Jeff Christensen, the owner of Twin Loop Quality Meats in St. Paul. Christensen has joined a group, a growing number of independent meat processors and cattle producers who initiated a new food logo program that was unveiled by the Cattlemen Competitive Market Project. It's just not any beef. U.S. raised beef. Ask for it. So it's good. I like know where my, you know, you cooking steak. Where's this food coming from? Is it from Mexico? Is it from somewhere else? Yeah, I want to know this. So I think it's a no-brainer. Why haven't we even done this before? I don't know. You know, like made in USA. You know, but of course a lot of stuff made in USA isn't made in USA. This is from Sunday, from Avi. From the Jerusalem Times, Jerusalem Times in Israel. Israel to use sand bullets during riots. The Israeli military says changing riot control methods and replacing a sometimes lethal rubber-coated steel pellets with compressed sand bullets. Rubber bullets have killed dozens of Palestinians in the past two decades, and the new sand bullets were originally developed for close-quarter hostage rescue situations. So that's good. That's good. Well, they use a taser, too, while they're at it. This is from Anderson from Fairbanks, Alaska, from KTUU, Channel 2, and the NBC affiliate. Fishing guide found guilty of illegal wolf hunting. What's he doing? Fishing. Should be hunting fish, not wolves. But this is from Anchorage, Alaska. Hunting guide has been found guilty in charges stemming from illegal aerial wolf hunting. State troopers say 38-year-old David Haig was found guilty by a jury on Friday for 9 hunting and trapping violations. He was charged for violating statutes relating to his big game license. Haig had killed a total of 9 wolves by shooting them outside the illegally permitted aerial wolf hunting area. Wow. This is from Anonymous from CBS 5 in San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose. Shooting in Pinole claims 2 lives. The 2 people are dead after a shooting in Fernandez Park in Pinole. The city's first homicides of the year. Police received calls about shots fired in the park shortly before 7 o'clock Saturday night. The Pinole Police Commander, Pete Janke told KCBS reporter Henry Lubmulik, blah, 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 that when officers arrived, he found 3 people had been shot on the footpath beneath the Santa Fe Railroad trestle. So all young people are getting killed over there, too. But anyway, this is from Monday from Alejandro from Mexico City. The news press blasts at Mexico cockfight to kill 4. assailants threw grenades into a crowded cockfighting ring before dawn Monday in this western Mexican city, killing 4 people and wounding 25 others. 2 people were killed at the scene of the attack and 2 more died while receiving medical treatment. The ring was located at a racetrack in Tonala, located outside Guadalajara, Mexico's second largest city. The explosions tossed chairs and sent onlookers fleeing from the scene, which was strewn with blood. This is from Tuesday from Joel in Albany, New York, from the First Coast News. A New York teacher accused of having sex with students out on bail. I saw that today and yesterday, too. Where were these teachers when I was going to school, for crying out loud? A New York teacher accused of having sex with her students is out on bail. Prosecutors say 42-year-old Sandra Beth Geisel had sex with underage students while working as a teacher in a Catholic high school. Oh, boy, if I had a nun looking like that, I don't know. As a part of her bail agreement, Geisel must undergo psychiatric evaluation and substance abuse evaluation. She is also not allowed to have any contact with the boys he allegedly had sex with. No kidding. Actually, I saw where the school district or the school was wondering, you know, what was going on in her office, because her office apparently didn't have a window. So the school went ahead and put a window in her office. I'm like, well, what the hell? They're suspicious. Why don't they just suspend her, investigate her, or fire her? Why they bother putting a window in her office? It's crazy. And Let's see here. This is from Wednesday, anonymous from the Times of Munster, Indiana. Indiana American Water issues boil advisory. You get a lot of that in the Midwest. This is the rains and the, a lot of power outages. They have a boil advisories. Customers of Indiana American Water Company got a repeat performance Tuesday of the water problems that plagued them only 2 weeks earlier. Water service was interrupted for a couple hours, coming back on at 9:30 p.m. An outage about 9:39 p.m. at the Wycliffe substation affected customers in the Ogden Dunes area. They're requiring people to boil water, and so that's the story in the Midwest all the time when it rains like that. This is from Carol in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, from WAFB, Fox affiliate, Louisiana's News Channel 9. California urges insurance, or California, what the hell is this typo? Governor urges insurance sign up. There you go. Governor Kathleen Babineau Blanco has declared August La Chip Month to encourage families to start new school year by seeking health insurance for their uninsured children. More than 10% of children in our state who qualify for La Chip are still uninsured. To this end, Representative La Chip will be participating in events at stores, schools, churches, and community centers across the state to answer questions about and help families sign up for low-cost health coverage from the state. Wow. Very good. And what else? This is from, actually, I had some news I found when I was just pulling in from, I usually stop get water for Con, the producer, and myself, and then at the 7-Eleven, I had to fight through the homeless crowd of homeless people. But I had a news to me was the residents oppose Mount Charleston Resort. This is a mountainous area just about 40 minutes northwest of Las Vegas. It says Lee Canyon, it's Lee Canyon, there's a mountain out called Mount Charleston. It's hard to follow, but Lee Canyon residents have weathered a year of avalanches, loss of telephone service, and a threat of forest fires. Now a Utah company is proposing what for Canyon residents may be the worst of all, a large resort development on the slopes of Mount Charleston. They fought this, another development years ago. It was a bed and breakfast they fought up there called the Big Blue. And they lost that one. They went down in flames fighting with that one. And the mountain's not that big. And they always have problems with the crowds up there, with the tourists that come to Vegas. They go up there and think it's a free-for-all. And they dump the trash out of their cars. And they just, there's a destroyed area up there. And the residents up there, there's a lot of famous residents. A lot of stars have homes up there. I know Red Fox had a place up there. Lola Falana. A lot of older stars. Lana Turner supposedly had a home up there. They're beautiful homes. They're just, rammed into the mountains. There's always a fear that these tourists come up there, they'll spark a forest fire and other emergencies up there, because there's not much emergency service up there. So, but they're trying to fight that resort. I don't think they will, because they put in that bed and breakfast, so I pretty much bet they're going to put through this resort. It's also news to me, it's from today, that Nevada moves toward a $5 billion Las Vegas water project. Nevada may be near a deal that would clear the way for one of the most ambitious water projects in the arid U.S. Southwest since the Hoover Dam. They're going to dig some wells and pipelines from another county. This is hard to follow, too. There's a county they're going to build it. I think it's White Pine County, or Lincoln County, excuse me. Lincoln County, a lot of groundwater there. So what they're going to do, they're going to dig all these pipelines. They're going to bring the water from underneath Lincoln County and pipe it into Las Vegas, into Clark County. So they're all people up there are fighting it. They want their land to dry up like it's probably is going to. So it's a big mess. See, the agreement will allow the Southern Nevada Water Authority to proceed with its plan for a $5 billion water project, including 500 miles of pipelines to meet the increasing demand for water in a booming Las Vegas area. If it occurs, it'll likely occur in the next couple months. The agreement will allow the authority to begin an environmental analysis of the project to bring water to Las Vegas, one of the fastest growing metropolitan areas in the United States. No kidding. They envision drilling up to 195 wells and building pump stations, power lines, and reservoir treatment facilities, and up to 500 miles of pipeline to deliver water to Las Vegas, which draws 90% of its water from the Colorado River. So it's always been a big battle with the Colorado River, because the Colorado River is Nevada's right there, Arizona's right there, and California's right there. There's always a battle over the water, and Nevada's already at its allotted amount of water, so they're trying to get Arizona to give up a piece of their water allotment. Arizona doesn't want to do that, and of course California doesn't want to, so they're having to go to other sources, which is to get the groundwater from other counties, and they're all screaming because they're not having the growth of Las Vegas. Why are they going to have to pay for Clark County's growth? So it's a big mess. I remember years ago they talked about building a pipeline from the Great Lakes to Las Vegas. So I don't know if that's ever going to come up, but that's a long pipeline. They do that. The Las Vegas area, gains a net 3,000 to 4,000 new residents each month. So there you go with that. And what else we have? We have also a man holding a daughter killed in road rage. A man lifting his infant daughter off his car was killed in an apparent case of road rage by a motorist who obviously exploded and shot at him four times at close range in front of dozens of witnesses. The victim's 10-month-old daughter was covered with blood but was uninjured when police found her in a car seat on the floor of the vehicle. Walter R. Bishop, who was taking medication for depression, was arrested Tuesday and charged with first-degree murder and the death of 27-year-old Sandro Andrade. Bishop's attorney said that Andrade had provoked his client during a traffic altercation. All right, yeah, that gives an excuse to come back with a gun and blow his brains out. We have a homicide that resulted from a circumstance where somebody picked a fight with an individual who obviously exploded. Bishop told investigators he was driving his wife to the train station when Andrade's vehicle backed toward him on Main Street. The two exchanged heated words. He said his wife was scared and he was angry at that encounter. He said he made up his mind right there that he had to do something. After dropping off his wife, he allegedly returned to the scene of the confrontation, pointing a handgun through an open window and fired. Brilliant. What's with these people? You know, anger control, people. Take a couple deep breaths before you do all this stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous. I've always said, you know, I'm getting to the point now where I think there needs to be, I've said this before, everybody knows, that there should be some kind of mandatory, you know, annual, biannual, triannual mental health exam for every adult person in the United States. I mean, it's coming to that point where we're all going to have our head examined at least once every 3 years or something. There's got to be a way to do that to stop some of these nuts out there from, doing some of this garbage that they've been doing. Congressional perjury cases, perjury charges rare. This is about the Rafael Palmero BS about the steroids. And they say he perjured himself by lying about, he shook his finger at Congress, says, I've never had steroids with that woman. And so they're saying they could trump him up on perjury charges. So, we'll see what happens. I doubt it. But because President Bush is standing by Palmero, because Bush is the one ahead of him in Texas. So he's an issue, former Chicago Cub too. And what else? Report false police in car trunk deaths. This is from those kids that were found after all those days in the trunk of that car a few weeks ago. The police failed to follow proper procedures as they searched for three missing boys, neglecting a national group's recommendations to immediately look in enclosed places such as car trunks, a report released Tuesday said. Camden police never adopted search procedures recommended in 1998 by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, the report said. That advice states that in cases of missing children, police should immediately search confined spaces such as refrigerators and car trunks. Howie, that kind of struck me. How can they look in the trunks to begin with in that case? There's this thing like odd. I mean, it's like a, kind of moment there. You know, of course you can look in the trunk for crying out loud. And there's also cases that they had before of them... Hold on, I got a message from the powers that be. Hold on. There we go. I just think that that's, you always look in the trunks. But as I said, these kids supposedly had a history of hiding in trunks of the car and everything, so we'll see. And Bush signs trade bill after tough battle. President Bush on a hard-fought pact with the five Central American nations in the Dominican Republic Tuesday signed a measure that would advance peace and prosperity throughout the region. So it's a CAFTA. He signed CAFTA. It's more than a trade bill. It would help strengthen fragile young democracies in Latin America. And as much as I disagree with Bush over Iraq and some other things he's done, I'm all for that CAFTA because Latin America could be the next Middle East if we don't watch it, because there's a lot of poor down there. People have don't think they have a leg up in this world. They need a hand up, or they need a before we give them a I don't want to give them a hand out, or give them a hand up. And this will go a long way. It's Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Dominican Republic. Go ahead. I'm also give them the free trade, as far as I'm concerned. So, but I think we have our guest on the line. Really? Okay. And we'll be joined by Robin from WatchingAmerica.com. Robin, you there, sir?
I'm there, but you're very quiet.
Oh, I'm very quiet. Really? All right. How's that? A little better?
A little better, but you can keep going.
All right. Well, They're fixing it now. All right. So this is Robin Kerner from the WatchingAmerica.com, correct?
That's right. That's
there you
right.
go. And welcome. You have a Australian accent, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
No, it's actually British.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, sorry. I can't didn't mean to insult you there.
But who knows what a few months of New York has done to it.
Well, first of all, I want to, you know, you're a British national, so I want to give my sympathies over the terrorist bombings over there. You know,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, and do you have any relatives or friends in the middle of that mess over there?
Not in the middle of it, no. I mean, obviously, everybody's conscious of it, but no, I'm pleased to say it didn't affect me personally in any way.
Well, very good. Like I said, you're with you're the co-founder of and the editor of WatchingAmerica.com, which is a site that keeps track of how the foreign news press and foreign countries are viewing the United States, right?
Well, actually, I'm not the editor. I'm one of the co-founders, but my other co-founder, Will Kern, is the editor.
Oh, okay. Now, where do you come from right now? From New York?
I'm in New York, yes.
Okay. Now, what's the big news in New York City right now? Is it about Bolton coming to the UN or what?
Well, you know, that's big news all over the world, yes. Not just in New York. Yeah, I mean, this has got everyone's attention. Actually, you know, we've got some great stuff on the website on Watching America about that. We just posted a piece from the Netherlands, you know, basically saying that everyone's going to be watching, and I think there's unanimous agreement that he's a bad choice. I was going to put it more diplomatically than that, but I think if I did, I wouldn't be being honest.
Really? Well, no, he's not the, you know, like I say, he's not my first choice either. I agree with Bush about a lot of things, but I'm saying he's his choice because, you know, Bush will be out, you know, in 2008. Like, let him have the guy. I mean, we got other things to worry about than that. We got the, you know, Supreme Court to worry about. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, but a lot of things are at stake.
Yeah. Now, how's the world viewing the Bolton recess appointment? That'd be interesting.
Well, you know, I'm looking at two headlines on our site. The one from the Netherlands, our head is, Diplomacy Will Be Bolton's Litmus Test. Sounds neutral, but it's quite a skeptical piece from the Netherlands. And there's also a more scathing piece from Cuba.
Oh, well.
We've translated from Spanish, and that's headed Bolton the Undesirable One, which probably tells you quite a bit.
Yes, I'm on there right now. From the Juventud, was it Rebelde?
Yes.
Correct. Well, I mean, you know, they hate Cuba hates the United States to begin with, but
well, obviously, you know, it's one of the great things about our project here, about WatchingAmerica.com, is that not just do you get to see America through other people's eyes, but in so doing, you get to learn more about where they're coming from and why.
True.
I think in this kind of time now, where America is the sole superpower. I think the argument about whether it needs to engage is already over. I mean, all sides of the political spectrum kind of assume that we do need to engage, whether that's in the Middle East or anywhere else. There's obviously a great concern with what are the consequences of that, and you know, and our project is kind of all about showing that to the American people.
Well, it's a fascinating site you have there, because I'm going through it. You're very well sourced and everything, which I appreciate. A lot of sites or blogs you go on, that the news isn't sourced, so it's, you know, it's like, you don't know what to believe, what not to believe, but everything you have is sourced with links.
Right, that's right. Yeah, everything is sourced, and what we do is we translate foreign language mainstream media from all over the world. So if you see it on WatchingAmerica.com, you know that represents a view in another country that is, let's say, it's not marginal. You know, it's pretty mainstream. It may be just like the U.S. press from various parts of the spectrum. It may have its own biases, but it's out there in the street of the countries that where it's published.
Yeah, now,
that's a very important part of what we're doing.
Correct. And then you have on the left side of your site about the shuttle repair mission. How's that being viewed across the world?
You know, I think there's been quite a bit of concern. For quite some time, we've been running stuff. I remember we had something from Russia, and they were saying that, you know, it looks like not a full-hearted attempt. You know, there's a way that the shuttle program is being maintained, and there's some skepticism as to whether it's the way to go in terms of cost-effectiveness. And from other perspectives, you know, this idea of continuing manned space flight using what is actually very old technology. I think there's some skepticism about that.
Absolutely. Well, I post on the LV Rocks board. I was watching CNN last night, and they had a story on there with Aaron Brown with a I forgot the man's name. Oh, anyway, he's the deputy chief of the shuttle program. He said that Discovery is 21 years old, and they've had to resort to going on to eBay to getting parts for that shuttle.
You know,
that's amazing.
That is extraordinary.
Yeah.
But, some of these huge undertakings, and you know, I've been in business, and so I can say certainly some large corporations do seem to succeed in spite of themselves sometimes. One wonders.
Yeah, and he has a story about, G. Gordon Liddy of Watergate fame cites Sharon misbehavior? That's
yes.
His Israel National News video. What's he doing getting involved with this? G. Gordon Liddy should be sticking to the combat boots and all that he keeps talking about.
You know, I haven't actually read that story all the way through yet.
Yeah, so that's...
You know, I will point everyone to the website. Mm-hmm. And you know, check it out, because they'll get... more accurate information than me just blabbing on right now.
Yeah, well, it's an excellent site. I mean, all kinds of news. El Mundo, Bush's absurd strategy for battling terror. Now, with all the troops who were just killed today over there, what's the world's reaction to that? Do you know?
You know, I'm looking at the heads on the site right now. What we don't do is run any news that you can get anywhere else.
So there's specific news.
Any mainstream stories that are available on U.S. mainstream media in English, you know, you can get all of that in hundreds of places, so we don't repeat that.
Very good, very good.
So, you know, we're showing a unique window into world news and world opinion, but all about the United States.
Correct.
So we're careful not to, as I say, duplicate what's just out there normally.
Which is nice, though, because you want to see something that's original, not that's on every site. You know, you go click, 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 and it's the same story on every site. Correct?
You know, absolutely. What we have here, it's like a kind of a media oasis, and this is a credit to Will, the co-founder and the editor-in-chief. You know, when we came up with this idea, he was the one who immediately saw how, using technology, we could efficiently and accurately translate you know, large quantities of foreign news. It had never been done before, but it took a journalist like him to know that we were now at a point where we could do that. And basically, I think the reason I'm talking to you, Sean, and I've been having, you know, all these other interviews is because that idea made Watching America groundbreaking, kind of revolutionary in media, because it's breaking down that final barrier among people, you know, the language barrier.
Absolutely. Well, it's good. It's good to know.
Yeah, so no, I think we have a pretty loyal following already. We haven't been going long. Because people know that they're going to get unique, not just unique stories, but I know I can speak for myself and say a lot of the stuff that I actually read on our own site presents things that I wouldn't even have imagined, perspectives, concerns, psychoses from around the world, biases from around the world that I wouldn't even have never even imagined. I think that's why it's enlightening. I mean, the readership is somewhat elite at the moment. I mean, we get many thousands of hits every day, but they're quite elite. You know, they're from think tanks and big media people, and you know, so I know there's some big you know, corporate types that visit our site regularly. But we really want to, as it were, push this totally into the mainstream, so that everybody knows that, you know, this is just freely available, and that they can, you know, the spectrum of opinion and ideas that are on the news of any particular country is actually a tiny, tiny fraction of the world spectrum of opinion ideas.
Correct.
And so that's what we're all about. And you know, Will does a great job of keeping it accessible and fun. I mean, he finds these wonderful videos from, you know, the Arab world, or you know, China, just so you can get kind of insights into the thinking of others that you wouldn't get, as I say, on the U.S. TV. And these would be videos in original languages translated. So you come to our site, you read a story, and there might be a little link to some interesting footage that Will has also posted on the bottom of the story for people who are interested in really getting into, you know, the issues, if you want to take it that far.
Well, it's a wonderful say. I read the article over here about people from People's Daily from China, but China warns the United States to keep your hands off of Taiwan. That's going back to, I guess there's some kind of war games going on in the waters just off of Taiwan there. So there's a fear that, you know, they're saber rattling over there once again.
That's right. Well, there's the issue. At the moment, the Chinese and the Russians militarily are getting a bit closer and wargaming together. And there was a recent communique, if that's the right word, from those two countries, basically demanding that the U.S. now get out of Central Asia. Obviously, they have a lot of bases there. They've been building a lot of bases since their moves into Afghanistan and Iraq. And the Chinese and the Russians are now ready for them to leave. So there's been a bit of rise in tension there. And that's another issue that's very big for the world's press, because obviously lots of countries have an interest in that story.
Absolutely. And then on the left side of the screen, you have the Uzbeks say, the Yankee go home. So, but they've asked to give the United States notice to leave within 6 months from Uzbekistan, correct?
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we were there since the beginning of the war, because I remember was it Turkey wouldn't let the United States use their land there as a launching pad, so they had to go over to Uzbekistan and get permission to use the land up there for a northern assault.
You know, it's actually, that's interesting. One of the other articles that we have right now, as I recall, talks about Turkey's being the most demanding. You know, at the time of the Iraq War, they basically just asked for more money. One thing that comes out of the Arab press, if you kind of follow it regularly on the site, is, you know, when I say Arab, I don't mean Arab like on Al Jazeera, written for people who read English. I mean Arab press in Arabic. They actually have quite a respect for the European street that they say has opposed the Anglo War in the Middle East more than the Arabs themselves. And there's a lot of Arab animus directed against Arab rulers that they seem to be happy to sell out for dollars, you know, what a lot of the Arab street thinks you know, they should be doing, which is to standing firmer to the West and especially to the Bush administration. And I read recently that in one of those articles that it was noted that I think Turkey held out for something like, I want to say $30 billion from the U.S. to allow their country to be used at the beginning of the Iraq War. Middle, you know, the people in the Middle East are very aware of these dynamics.
Yeah, and then you have, well, I mean, it's, I thought that was, yeah, it's ridiculous. I thought it was like $25 billion, but, you know, $5 billion here and there, you know, it doesn't really, it starts adding up. But, you know, they asked them to leave, so they're going to leave. And then, right here, it says here about the Iraq may have to choose its neighbors over Washington.
Yes, yeah, that's an interesting piece. That was, I guess, just pointing out the geopolitical realities. You know, if you're a country next to Iran, you know, with Israel a stone's throw away, you know, as much, whatever pressure may be put to bear on Iraq, you know, even with the U.S. troops there, the geopolitical realities of the, you know, just the location of Iraq and its neighbors are in the long run are bound to trump that. And that article, as I recall, speaks to some of the tension that the governments of Iraq have to face now.
Well, it's the truth that government in Iraq is going to have to reach out to its neighbors eventually. They can't just rely on the United States completely. You know, they have to you know, make some kind of trade deals or get some kind of diplomacy in those neighboring countries, especially Saudi Arabia with the King Fahd dying. So, I mean, that's, how's that playing over there across the world?
Well, you know, that story is, I mean, the facts of that story are covered quite a lot on you know, mainstream. We don't run, say, something that you can see anywhere else. We haven't had any particular, we haven't posted yet any responses to that are unusual from the Arab press. But, I mean, look out, because if they're there, they'll be up on the site in within a day or two.
True. And then you have a story from Germany about the Iraq's human rights minister says the nation would collapse if the United States left. Well, that's obviously true. I mean, given what happened up there today, I mean, 14 and 6, we had 20 Marines killed, and the country's still up for grabs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's true. And I think there's an awareness within the country. I mean, this is very much their, if you like, national internal dialogue is exactly this issue. You know, there's a balancing act going on there right now.
Yeah, now, you know, a lot of people say, like, you know, Fox, and they try and focus on the you know, some of the good that's going on over in Iraq, but all that's overshadowed by all these constant attacks. I mean, most of that country you can't travel to without an armed escort. And the airport, you still have to take a helicopter to get from there to the green zone.
Yeah, you know, some of the, one of the great things about reading the local press mm-hmm. is from these countries, is that you get to see the things that really impact the lives of the millions of people on the ground. And in many cases, you know, they're not what you imagine from getting the wide view in the Western media. One example that springs to mind that you can read about on the site today is that 70% of Iraqis are illiterate. So there are huge numbers of deaths that arise just because the U.S. soldiers, on one hand, don't speak Arabic, and on the other hand, are using signs threatening certain death to any Iraqis that will approach their armored personnel carriers. But the Iraqis just can't read the signs. So you have these kind of real on-the-ground logistical issues. You know, that 70% illiteracy rate is actually, in a way, more dangerous than some of the kind of big political and military questions that we think about as Westerners as we kind of approach the problem in Iraq. I find that kind of thing fascinating because it just subverts a lot of the debate that we do that's totally kind of off the point.
Yeah, that's mind-boggling that the troops have to hold up signs to stay away from them and that the Iraqis can't read them, so they're walking up to them anyway, they're getting blown away.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think that somebody would have thought of that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you think they would have done it, and that, you know, with the Saddams ruled that country for years, that probably most of them don't know how to read, you know?
Absolutely. Exactly right.
It's amazing. Well, I mean, I remember they dropped leaflets and everything on them before we launched the invasion, and now they all make sense. Why we even bother? People couldn't even read what we were dropping on them to begin with.
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
Well, I don't know. I just think it's amazing. Then you have a article. You have an article about CAFTA, and how's that playing? They say for sale.
Which one's that? Let me find it on the site.
It's on the right. It's from Diario Colatino. It says for Central Americans, trade pact with the U.S. remains a mystery. They're probably wondering who's going to benefit more from CAFTA, either the Central America or the or the United States. I'm all for free trade. Like I said, some of those countries down there in Latin America are borderline into a dictatorship or theocracy, and they need some kind of free trade, open up those markets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, that's true. Venezuela is always an interesting case, and we have some great copy about Chavez, who's something of a more left-wing hero to the Central and South Americans. But, you know, certainly I think, again, there is an awareness of the need to progress with the free trade, and I think these nations understand the benefits, but I think the concern is that the negotiations don't start on a level playing field. There's a sense in which, you know, all the countries that aren't the U.S. are the poorer partners. And I know that there's this, there's one provision whereby multinationals can actually sue governments for instituting any law or regulation that protects the environment, but in so doing reduces the profit of the multinational in that country. Now, that's obviously a provision that can only hurt the environment of the citizens of these countries, and they see it to the benefit of American multinationals because most multinationals are American. And the ones that will be taking advantage of these agreements, the CAFTA agreement, obviously are going to be U.S. multinationals. So, these are points of some resistance.
Yeah, and then I have a story down the right from June 22nd from the Canadian Press about Canada saying that Canada edges out U.S. as the dumbest government of the year, barely. And they have a quote from President Bush that said, they never stop thinking of ways of harming America, and neither do we. That was from President George W. Bush. That was kind of a, what was he thinking?
To himself, you know. How can you follow that?
I don't know. He says some of the, you know, boneheaded things. I mean, he's shake your head. I mean, I remember, what it was, some press conference, and the guy couldn't put a sentence together about anything. He's just, he was like, I'm like, oh, you know, man, we only got a couple more years and he's out of there, but, I mean, good grief.
You know, it's a good point, and it's one that's, you know, made often, but, you know, I probably should take this opportunity to say that what we do at Watching America, and Will is particularly excellent with this, is to show the entire range of global opinion. We don't have a political perspective. We don't have any agenda. We just want to make available what's never been made available. It, of course, it is the case that most copy about U.S. policy, certainly now, is either neutral or unfavorable. There's very little overtly favorable copy about, certainly about the current administration. But, you know, I guess that's to be expected.
Yeah, and then you have a story about the Russians are upset at ABC News for interviewing that Chechen terrorist. I guess they've cut off certifying ABC TV for, I guess, for airing an interview with a Chechen terrorist. That was a big story today.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great example of, you know, something that can perhaps surprise Americans about how closely the world is watching, you know, American media, America as a country, and American news. You know, what might seem like nothing, or just, you know, a small spot on American news is actually can be a huge provocation to the countries involved. There's a few examples of that on the site, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, well, I mean, it's good that the world's, you know, a lot of people say they can get more news about the United States from reading the foreign newspapers than they do from reading the local papers here, you know, here in the United States.
You know, I would actually say that is absolutely true, and I've been quite wary of making firm statements like that, but the more I've done this project, you know, the fact is when America's the most, you know, the United States is the most powerful country in the world. It has the most money, it has the biggest bombs, and therefore, it also has the most powerful diplomacy, but just by default. And that's why, you know, what Americans do often affects non-Americans more strongly than it affects Americans themselves. And it's fascinating to see how that plays out in the world.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a real eye. I mean, obviously, I'm British, but I'm an American resident. I'm very into American politics. I feel kind of like an American in a British skin, you know. I kind of identify a lot with some of the values of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is also, you know, it brings quite a few things home to me to see this. You know, it's like personal relationships.
True.
You know, if you are going to conduct a relationship with your wife or husband or girlfriend or boyfriend, and you show no interest in how your actions or words are being received, that relationship isn't going to last very long.
True. And right now I'm looking at an article you have from Israel about the U.S., Britain, Egypt, and Israel at a loss after a spat of al-Qaeda attacks. And the quote is, by hitting Sharm el-Sheikh, Osama bin Laden hammered home to Egyptian, British, American, and Israeli leaders, we are now sitting on your doorstep. I mean, that,
right.
They've driven that point home. I mean, about 4 weeks there's been problems over in London with the various bombings and, you know, and the poor guy that was shot, they had nothing to do with it and everything else.
Yeah, and, you know, there's another interesting article on the site about that, which speaks to how even in the Arab world, what they would call the violence in Iraq and the civilian deaths in Iraq, which are numbering many thousands of times more than the deaths due to terrorism in London, actually are getting, if anything, less attention, even on a kind of event-by-event basis than the London bombings. Because there's this kind of normalization of a violence in Iraq, and there's this numbness that even a lot of Arabs who are sympathetic to the problem in Iraq now are feeling. Whereas the London bombing, it's like new and it's exciting. It's like one big fireball next to the little daily fireballs of Iraq, to kind of quote the article. And you know, that was quite interesting to hear that from an Arab writer.
Yeah, and then also the Lebanon was a Daily Star, a captivating performance by Condoleezza Rice, where she says here, the quote is from the editorial, the Americans seem to have an astute appreciation for the volatile situation in Lebanon. And she showed up there by surprise when she showed up there last week.
Okay.
Some Condoleezza Rice, so she's starting to make her rounds, but they're
yes.
Making all these surprise visits. I know Rumsfeld shows up, seems like every other week he shows up in Iraq in one of these surprise visits, you know?
Yeah, I think that they're not surprises probably by now.
I think people are getting sick of the surprises, you know? But
yeah, that's right.
But
I've seen a few jokes about that.
He shows up. I think he shows up there when his wife kicks him out of the house. He flies to Iraq for a few days and comes back. You know what I mean?
That's right. He probably made quite a few friends there now. Maybe he has more there than in Washington.
I think he's polling better in Iraq than he is in the United States. I don't know.
No comment.
I don't know. But anyway, well, Robin, we're going to have to let you go. Our segment is up with you. All right?
Hey, it was a pleasure talking to you, Sean.
Thank you very much, Robin. Thank you.
Yeah.
And
very best to you.
Thank you very much. That was Robin Kerner from WatchingAmerica.com. It's a pretty unique website, very well put together, I must say. The pictures are all crisp and clear, crisp and clean, and no caffeine. I mean, it's just it's amazing. I spent like 3 days going through everything on his site and their site, I should say, because he's a co-founder with what's that guy's name, Will. And just amazing. You look at how the world's viewing the United States, and you know, especially with Iraq, and now the thing with the shuttle. So, and anyways, now we shall. Actually, like I said, next week it'll be Duncan. He's the owner of the Weblog Empire. So he'll be here. I don't know if that's the dark side of the force or the good. I don't know, but he'll be here. He's run several sites as a weblogempire.com, and he's just launched a new one called the Dunkelfint, which is a centrist political blog on there. So yeah, Blade Runner. I thought you like. He's a Brit from your part of the woods, but he's here in the United States. He's over in New York. So that was pretty interesting. And now, like I say, if anybody wants to call in, you can, because we're going to talk about who we think will not make it to the third season of Galactica. It's 1-866-LV-ROCK, so you could drop it into the chat room there. Like I said, the ratings slipped a little bit more. It was a 2.0, I believe, for last week's episode. And they pretty much gave away that Adama is going to wake up at the end of this week's episode and probably kick some ass, because all hell's breaking loose. And they're going to pretty much, I think it's going to have their civil war on the series now, because I think they're taking a page out of the United States' history book. They'll have a civil war. I understand the fleet's going to break up. Half the fleet's going to stay with the Galactica. The other half's going to break off with Rosalyn, and that's how they're going to, you know, trot out the Pegasus. So we'll see. And in last Friday's Stargate actually did was the number one cable show for the day in the coveted 18 to 34 demo, eagerly sought after by advertisers. So Stargate SG-1's doing well, basically on the shoulders of having the what's his name, Farscape. Shows all mixed up. Farscape. I'm gonna get nailed on the message board now. But and an SG-1 and SG.
How about Firefly? They got
Firefly. I didn't have the ratings from that.
Oh,
no.
What the hell?
I think they have too many. I've said that on the boards. They have too many of those shows back to back. I think that's what's hurting Galactica. They have three of these heavy duty military based shows before you get to Galactica. You have 3 hours to sit through. They gotta move something. Either sandwich Galactica in between the Stargates or put something else in front of it. I say Doctor Who, but. Where else? SG-1, Stargate Atlantis, and Galactica all scored a rating close to a 2.0 after only a few hundredths of a rating point separate all three programmings. Shows. I mean, that's a typo from Sci-Fi. Sci-Fi had the number two Galactica, number three SG-1, and number four Atlantis shows for the day for 18 to 49 and 25 to 54-year-olds. So, but again, Galactica was the third place show behind Stargate Atlantis. Is actually doing the best. And I actually like that program. But Galactica also ranked number fifth in ranked fifth in TiVo recordings last week, up from 30th from the week before. So the show's still burning up at least the TiVo rings. But I don't think Nielsen includes the TiVo business into the ratings picture. So, but I still think the ratings will jump up again after. For the second half of the season, it starts in January. So I think the person who's not going to make it to the third season of Galactica is going to be Tyrell. I think they're going to kill him off at the end of the season. Yeah, that's just me, but I have a feeling that's where they're going. They kill off pretty much everybody else on his crew. I think they'll bump him off. So we'll see. A lot of people saying that Rosalyn won't make it. You know, I hate to see Tyrell go. I like Aaron Douglas, of course, but I mean, you know. You know, who from the main cast? You know, Adama's going to stay. Rosalind's going to stay, even though she's sick. They're going to drag that out. Now she's a god. I think now her ears are ringing because she can detect Cylons now. Because Ellen Tai was standing in front of her in the cell, and she was looking like she's going nuts. And then her ears are whistling. But as soon as Ellen Tai walked out of the room, her ears stopped ringing or whatever. So I think Rosalind now is a Cylon detector, so we'll see what happens there. And they killed off Crashdown. Sam Witwer is a former Subject to Discussion guest. They killed him off. Baltar actually blew him away when he was about ready to shoot Callie. That was a pretty good scene. And they did the operate. Cottle showed up, put his cigarette out in the urine and the piss bowl, whatever it is, and operate on Adama. So it's like he's going to survive. And I said, I think he's going to wake up next week because all hell's breaking loose. He even Ty told Adamina, he really fracked things up for him. So when he comes to, they're going to have the Civil War, and it's how they're going to, they say trot out the Pegasus, so we'll see what happens. And then Richard Hatch had a brief appearance on the episode.
I still think the CO?
CO?
CO's wife?
Which one? Oh, Ellen Ty. Yes.
The blonde?
Yes, she's a Cylon.
I still think she's a Cylon.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think her, remember, because she went in to see Laura Roslin. Her ears are ringing. Laura Roslin's ears. She was, her head was killing her. And as soon as Ellen Ty walked out of the room, her ears stopped ringing. So I think now that Roslin's a god or a conduit of a god, or like what Sisko was on Deep Space Nine, I think she can detect who's a Cylon now. Because she's been taking all those drugs. And Billy went to get her those drugs. And that's why when Ty brought in all the Council of the Twelve and the press and everything, she was normal because Billy got to her with a shot to whip her into shape. But actually, last week's show got a good reaction. So all those the guys that came on, Paul Campbell, thank you. Aaron Delgus, thank you. And Tom O'Pennicott, thank you. And you know what? We didn't see Starbuck or Hilo last week on Galactica at all. So they weren't on the show at all. Yeah. And where has Boomer been? We haven't seen Boomer since the first time she flew off with the Cylon ship. Either one of the Boomers. We haven't seen Galactica Boomer. We haven't seen Cylon Boomer. Or Caprica Boomer. I know. I see Boomer in my bed every night, but that's a different story. I got the third version of Boomer at home.
She was on the first episode, the very, very beginning.
Yeah, then she took off. Well, then she took off with the ship.
I bet you that guy feels like a dumbass.
Which one? Who?
The guy impregnated her.
Oh, Hilo. Well, how's he supposed to know? Yeah, I feel sorry for the Chiefs.
Starbuck was the whole time. Let me kill her.
Yeah.
I don't care if she had sex with her. She's still a Cylon.
Well, she's pregnant with this baby now. Now, I feel sorry for the Chief, because now the Chief's back on the ship. They're going to be going after him, because he was with Sharon all that time. So I'm sure Ty and him are going to be grilling him, because what the hell? Now all that's going to fall together. Now Tyrell's going to figure out that, oh, damn, she was a Cylon. She's the one that opened up the ship for that bomber to get on there and blow up, set that bomb off, the suicide bomber on the Galactica, and all that stuff. So, I mean, all that's going to piece together. I wouldn't be surprised he gets tried before a tribunal about that. So, but everybody says, oh, Ellen is funny. Yeah, she's a good actress. She's Kate Vernon. She was on Falcon Crest years ago. But so we'll see what happens. And then the GateCon apparently went over very well. And so you just hope. And actually, Koenig Rule is supposed to be coming back in a couple of weeks. He's teaching a statistics class. So we'll be having him come onto the program with more of a report on what's going on with the series and everything else. And like I said, next week we're going to have on the Duncan from the Weblog Empire. So hopefully I could work with him in some kind of form to help me out with the program. There you go. Somebody there? No? Oh, I thought we had a phone call. But I said you can call in if you want. 1-866. You're all begging for a chance to call into the program. So here we go. 1-866-LV-ROCKS or 702-383-8120. Who do you think is going to die or won't make it to the third season? Alosha's going to be gone, because I went on to the David Icke's video blog. And they did a script read-through with the cast for Episode 7. And then in Episode 7, they're saying that Adama, he's saying, almost is reading the script, he's saying he's got to go down to Cobol to get talk some sense in Laura. They go down there, and they find where Alosha is buried. So I don't know how Alosha gets down there and buried without people going with her. I have no idea. So she's going to get killed off next, I would assume, because this will be number 4, and they're reading the scripts to number 7. So they got either 2 episodes. Whenever she's going to get buried somewhere on Cobol.
You know what's going to happen?
What?
They're all Cylons.
Oh,
and this is just a test. This is just a test. When they actually get to Earth, that's the actual Caprica.
Somebody's going to wake up. They're going to wake
cold
up.
Cold sweat.
Almost
going to wake up in a cold sweat. Go.
It's all a dream.
And then you're going to hear the sirens go, and that's the end of the series.
It was all a dream. Either that, or they're going to have.
That puts in the great premonition thing, because whoever's the premonitionist.
All this has happened again.
So Almost is going to wake up from a cold sweat and. That's going to be the end of the series. And then you start a new series, Battlestar Galactica, The Next Generation.
The New Vision or something like that. Well, no, somebody else said that they think that they're going to wake up and it's going to be in the old Galactica series with the Boxy having a dream. It was all a dream. None of that happened.
No, he's the first Cylon.
And where is that kid? You know, we haven't seen that kid at all, and I was told he's going to show up. We're going to see him a lot more in the season. We haven't seen Boxy at all in this season. Yeah, I'm disappointed. You know, I was looking forward to seeing Boxy.
I'm waiting for that game that they play, you know, that basketball game? I'm still waiting for that.
Right. I'm waiting for the dog to come out, Muffet. He'll be a Cylon. But anyway, they had the convention, I guess. Dirk Benedict was there. So I like to see him play a role on the series, you know. So we'll see. I mean, I really think he should show up as a Cylon god or something. I really don't think he should show up as Starbucks' father at all. That'd be ridiculous. But some kind of role, some kind of limited role where he can show up from time to time like Hatch does. So, and actually, I read an interview with Richard Hatch. I'm trying to get him on this program, so we'll see that he actually comes face-to-face with a Cylon in the next couple weeks or so. So that'd be interesting to see what happens when he comes face-to-face with a new Cylon. So I don't know how the hell he must go down to Cobol or something, because how does he come face to face with a Cylon? I don't know. So he's dreaming too. And what are they wearing? What was the Council of 12 wearing?
It's like the Matrix. They're all in the little chamber.
The chamber, probably in some little computer game somewhere. But I mean, they're all wearing like these this Council of 12 gear, a little vest or something over them. That was kind of interesting too. And then the religion's really starting to really take hold on the series. They show that guard wearing, hold on to the rosary beads or whatever they call them on Cobol, and so it's, you know, and then finally that Apollo came with the Raptor at the right time to save the guys down on Cobol, because Chief is the only one that had a gun that could shoot, and he shot it down that Cylon Dratus, you know. So that was pretty cool. I mean, I like the way Tyrell's really stepped up now. He's like, he's turned into like a Scotty of Galactica, you know what I'm saying? You know, because Callie, and to crash down, wanted Callie to go off and do something. She was scared out of her mind. She didn't want to move and all that. I mean, there's been a lot of drama in these first handful of episodes, especially Colonel Ty. And I think Michael Hogan, like I said before, he deserves an Emmy for what he's done on the show so far. I mean, these first three episodes, he's carried the show. Think about it. And this whole thing with martial law, who else is would you know, be the one that says, that's it, I'm sick of this crap? And he even said, when throw him and have the Council of the Twelve go into the room. He'll get there when he's good and ready.
I didn't quite understand that, because he first said that.
You want to talk to those bastards?
Well, no. He says this is still his ship.
Adama's ship. Yeah.
And he never believed in martial law. And at the end, he says, I'm declaring martial law. And I didn't understand the jump. What happened from the time that he said he wouldn't declare martial law, because to the time that, I mean, I didn't understand that. I mean, I didn't get the thought process going there.
I don't know. I
don't know if they're going to reveal something, or I don't know.
Might be in a deleted scene, which we didn't get. And also, I think his wife got to him, because she kept saying, oh, this is going to be your ship. Anything happens to Bill Adama, this is going to be your ship. So, I think now he's absolute power corrupts absolutely.
No, because he's constantly said, I don't want to be captain.
Well, he is. You know, I mean, I think the power's going to his head. I think he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have Adama there calming him down. He's doing his natural instinct is to, he's a military man. Natural instinct for Ty is to declare martial law and have the military run everything. So there you go. And that's the program. Like I said, next week will be Duncan from the Weblog Empire. And anyway, this is subject to discussion on LVRocks.com. Email is subject number 2 discussion LVRocks.com. I change every week. Like the same thing with the podcast. It's different address every week now. But anyway, to listen to the podcast, go to LVRocks.com and click on podcasts. It's right over there on the left side of the screen.
Or go to autopodcaster.com.
Or autopodcaster.com. And stay tuned in about an hour for the Wild People in Las Vegas. She changed the name of the show. Whippy, whatever her name is, with Amber. Tomorrow is Daily Noise from 10 till 12, followed by The Wise Guys. And Sunday's Tap Out. And stay tuned next week.